spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generation.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations make free time available to present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Today's program, The Builders, was written by Harry Gersh and is dedicated to the forthcoming mid-century White House Conference on Children and Youth.
On the Sabbath, when the congregations meet in the service of the Lord, this is said, The disciples of the sages increase peace throughout the world, and all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. And in the service, the word is banaich, thy children. But the prayer book adds a homiletic admonition. Read not banaich, thy children, but bonaich, thy builders. Thus the congregations remember that the children of the world are the builders of the world. Through them may we know peace. This, then, is a story about a child, a builder, and about two old people who taught him peace and kindness and love. This is the story of Davy, a child like other children. But to tell the story of Davy, you have to tell the story of Sarah and Joe Winnick, who read Bonaich for Banaich. Two people who were a little older than the average, but no richer and no poorer, no more pious and no worldlier. People like the couple down the hall. People like the man and woman who run the store on the corner. People like you are, or soon may be. And because Sarah and Joe Winnick are people like all of us, and Davy a child like any child, this story is a story about all of us and the world.
Oh, there's the towel. Mrs. Gordon had a boy.
Hmm?
I said Mrs. Gordon had a little boy last night. And the dishes are still waiting.
Uh-huh.
I won the Irish sweepstakes today, $100,000.
What? Who? When?
That you heard. Now pick up the dish towel and listen.
I was just reading the paper, Sarah. A man has to know what's going on.
So, what's going on?
All right, I'll wipe the dishes. What did you want to tell me?
Mrs. Gordon had a little boy last night.
That's fine, and how are they?
They're both fine. But I didn't want to talk about the Gordons. The cups go in the other closet, remember?
All right, so you didn't want to talk about the neighbor. What did you want to talk about?
Joe, I want another child.
You what?
You heard me. I want another child.
Your name may be Sarah, but mine isn't Abraham, and no angel has made any promises to us. What kind of foolishness is this?
I'm 60 years old, true, and you're too old to make such jokes. I mean a child from an agency, from a foster parent's agency.
No.
Why?
You're a grandmother, and if that's not enough, I'm a grandfather.
So?
So I'm not a young man. I'm 62. I work hard all day in the store.
So you're ready to die?
No, I'm not ready to die, but I'm entitled to some rest. How can you rest with a small child in the house? You forget, Sarah.
Joe, when we go to Billy's, you spend all your time rolling on the floor with the kids. Don't forget the silver.
They're my grandchildren, and I don't have to change their diapers.
Joe, I've been thinking for a long time. For the last 20 years, there's been a craziness in the world. Wars and murders and killings. Now things are better for us, but not better in the world. Not better for children. I want a child to give it love, to show it that the world is good.
Sarah, we're two old people in a small apartment.
It's big enough for a child.
Children are like animals. They run, they break things, they make noise and dirt.
And you don't break things? Be careful of the cup. And I have to clean up after you anyway.
They're not all good children.
I remember my grandfather used to say, there are no bad children. From what should they be bad? They see the big people around them and they copy them.
Your grandfather, a holy man, a tzaddik. I could never win an argument from him, even through you.
Joe.
All right. All right. Call up the agency tomorrow.
Tomorrow? I called them this afternoon.
In all the cities and hamlets of the world, there are children whose eyes turn inward and downward, for they cannot face the harshness of the adult world. In the efficient cities, there are agencies to catalog these children. In some cities, the agencies gather up the broken children and give them to the menders. Sarah Winnick, age 60, family income $3,672 annually, gallbladder not so good and getting worse, blood sugar higher than it should be, Sarah Winnick was such a mender. So she went to an agency for a child.
Mrs. Winnick, I forgot to ask you this over the telephone. How old are you?
I'm 60. Is that bad?
60 is the borderline for foster mothers, but you don't look 60.
I'm not too old to care for a child. I'm not too old to love a child. Give me a chance and you'll see.
Well, Mrs. Winnick, I've forgotten whether the rules say that a foster mother can't be over 60 or whether she has to be under 60. And I guess I'm too busy to look it up.
Thank you, Miss Miller.
Look, Mrs. Winnick, our investigators are satisfied with you in your home. Unless you have some questions, let's go to the playroom and see the children. Through these windows. Can you see?
Oh, yes. Who's that one?
The little girl with the doll?
Yes.
That's Violet. She's five. Uh-huh. Both her parents are dead. And her grandparents are just about able to take care of themselves.
Miss Miller.
Hmm?
The boy. The quiet one sitting in the corner.
David. Well, he's five. I didn't know he was in the playroom.
Five? He can't be. He looks three.
He's five, all right. He only weighs 28 pounds. Do you see the other little boy? They're on the bicycle.
I want David.
Oh, I'm sorry.
What's the matter with David?
Nothing, Mrs. Winnick. He's... Well, David isn't quite ready for a foster home.
He has such an old face. No, he needs a home. I want him.
There are other children who need homes, Mrs. Winnick. It wouldn't work out with David. Not yet.
I've decided, Miss Miller. I came for a child who needed me. David needs me, I know.
Well, there are 100 reasons why you...
Oh,
here's David's caseworker, Mr. Mann. You talk to him. And Mrs. Winnick seems quite determined, Mr. Mann. What do you think?
No, it would be out of the question.
Why, Mr. Mann?
He's never really lived in a normal home, Mrs. Winnick.
So it's time he did.
He comes from a broken home. Nominally, he lived with his mother. He spent all his time in the streets and hiding in neighbors' houses.
But if he had a real home...
This last time he was gone for 2 days, living on a lot, finding food.
Was it his fault, Mr. Winnick?
There's no question of fault, Mrs. Winnick, but he's been conditioned. His personality twisted.
He doesn't speak. His mother says he goes for weeks without uttering a word.
He could learn.
It's my recommendation that the boy have the care and routine of an institution.
No, I'll take him.
I'm sorry, Mrs. Winnick. It's out of the question. We can't give you David.
Maybe you'll change your mind, Miss Miller. I'll wait. You have my telephone. Goodbye.
Agencies are run by rules and regulations. with the most expert advice culled from the best books on the subject. But agencies are also run by people, and they know that no child's heart conforms exactly to any other child's heart. No child's pain is similar to another's. So sometimes they break the rules and regulations. Sometimes they go counter to the expert advice, and they take a chance.
So we're going to try, Mrs. Winnick. You can have David. We'll take a chance.
Hello, Sarah. Hello.
This is Davy. We're eating our supper.
Hello, Davy.
It's your new papa, Davy. Say hello. Well, you'll say hello later. Joe, go wash yourself.
I'll wash later. First...
Joe, go wash. We'll finish our supper.
The man works hard all day. Sarah, what's with the bath? What happened in here?
Davy took a bath, didn't you, Davy?
With kerosene?
That's what we washed Davy's hair with. Davy was a motor and we put in the fuel.
Kerosene? Sarah, he doesn't...
I just wanted to make sure. Ask questions later. Go wash.
I'll ask questions now. What did you bring into the house?
Joe, go wash.
What are you doing, Sarah? I'm all lousy already.
Joe, there's a child in the house now. Mind your language.
This world isn't a child's world. A child's eyes do not see what our eyes see. That over there is a chair. Simple, ordinary, utilitarian. But to a child, it may be high and spindly with danger at the top. The noises outside, the roar of traffic, the wail of a siren, the high laugh of a girl are known and unnoticed by the adult. To a child, they are unnaturally loud, unknown, fearful. A dog running, a cat slinking around the corner, they're jungle-sized to a child. This world was not built to a child's scale. Unless the things he sees, the noises he hears, are filtered through an encompassing love. So when you tell a story about a child, tell it twice. Once as you saw it, and again looking up from below as a child looks up.
Davy, come, boy.
You'll have to give back that toy, Mrs. Winnick. I can't have my little girl crying all the time because Davy takes things.
Mr. Smith, you'll give it back. Davy, it's not your tuck. You'll give it back to the little girl, won't you?
No.
You'll give it back to her and I'll buy you another tuck.
No, I want this one.
Davy, you have your own toys. A pail, a ball, the blocks in the house, they're yours. The truck belongs to the little girl, Davy.
You ought to be whipped, that's why.
No, he shouldn't be whipped. Davy! Davy, what are you...
He smashed it. He did it deliberately.
Davy. Davy, why?
A child learns, and quickly, not with the mind alone. But before he can learn, he must have the answers to these questions. Will this smiling face above me be smiling a moment from now? Or will it dissolve by some mysterious chemistry of adulthood into the wrinkled face of hate? Will this toy in my hand be here when I awake? Or will it be stolen by the things that come by night? Will this food be here when I'm hungry again?
I'm always wiping dishes. You should have taken a girl from the agency. A big girl. At least she could do the dishes.
They don't let you have children just to do the housework.
Oh, why must you twist what I say? You know what? Hello? Yes, this is Mr. Winnick. Who? Oh, Pete, yeah. Davy? Where? I'll see to it. All right, I said I'll see to it. Goodbye. That was the superintendent, in case you didn't know.
What did he want, Joe?
What do they always want these days?
What did he say?
This time, Davy smashed the lamp in the lobby.
How does he know it was Davy?
He says he knows. Do you think he's lying?
No.
You can't go on like this, Sarah. Once we were liked here in this house, respected.
Joe, he can't help it yet.
I can help it. I don't have to have him in the house.
No, Joe. He's not a strange kid from an agency anymore, not even to you.
He's a little animal.
No, he's a little boy, lost in a strange world. We're both helping him find the way.
You make him sound more important than I am.
Maybe for a while, Davy is more important than Joe Winnick or Sarah Winnick. Yes.
Yes. Maybe for a time, while the future grows within him, Davy, a child of 5, is more important than Joe, a man of 62, or Sarah, a woman of 60.
Sarah?
Hmm?
What? It's only 8 o'clock. You were sleeping.
I closed my eyes for a minute. What's the matter? Can't I take a nap?
You're worn out. Sarah, you're too old to take care of a 5-year-old child and too old to listen to your husband when he tells you not to.
You woke me to talk philosophy?
No. I woke you to tell you to go to the movies.
The movies, all of a sudden?
When was the last time you went?
I'm not much of a movie goer.
Now you tell me. Last winter I had to take you to the movies in a blizzard.
Anyway, how about Davy? Joe, you mean you'll stay with him?
Don't you trust me? I'll take care of him.
But what if he should get up?
Remember? We had 3 children.
But
no buts. Go.
All right. But if he...
I know. Off with you. You'll miss the last show. Maybe he's crying in his sleep. I'll go in. No, you go ahead. I'll take care of him. All right, Davy, I'm coming. What's the matter, Davy? Did you get scared? You want a drink of water?
No, Mama, Mama.
Everything is all right. Oh, I'll sit with you a while. Do you want me to tell you a story?
No, Mama. I want Mama.
Here, Mama. Come. Come to Mama. Thanks, Joe.
Thanks for what?
Thanks for wanting to stay.
Father is a word with many meanings. If we look in Webster's dictionary, it says, father, noun, from the Anglo-Saxon fader, one who has begot a child, a male parent. But if we look in the Talmud, it is written, he who brings up the child is to be called the father, not he who gives it birth.
Davy catches pretty good for a little boy.
He's going to be a real ball player. But he plays too much by himself.
So?
So what? Oh. Davy, you want me to catch with you?
I'm playing by myself.
Sure. All right, Davy. You play.
The pitch is low and outside. 2-2.
Why should I listen to the game on the radio? Davy!
What?
Come on, let's go to the park and see the baseball game.
And me too, and Mama?
No, you go with Papa, Davy. I'll sit home for a while. I'm tired.
No, I want you to come.
Oh, baseball's for men. Let Mama stay home and we'll go.
No, I don't want to go.
All right, Davy, I'll come. We'll all go.
Now he'll have a real trailer for his bicycle.
Joe, it's fine. He'll like it.
But he won't take it out with me. Only with you.
Merry-go-round, sure, I want to go. Take me.
Yes, Davy, sure. Wait, I'll put on my shoes.
No, I want Papa to take me.
Me, Davy? You want me to take you?
Yes. Come quick. Take me on the merry-go-round.
So acceptance came between 2 old people and to a small boy. Davy learned, by precept a little, by reason maybe, but mostly by building a little world in imitation of the larger world built by his adults. He built as all children build, filling their worlds with the sights and sounds and emotions which they see and feel, piling up hate and pain when they feel hate and pain, storing warmth and laughter when they receive warmth and laughter, returning whatever they have taken to the next generation of children.
it? What happened?
The phonograph fell over.
It just fell, Davy?
I was fixing it.
Oh, it's fixed now. Look at it.
Don't worry. We'll fix it.
Huh? What do you mean, we'll fix it?
Papa will fix it. Papa and me. You see, Mama, we fixed it.
Yes, I see, Davy.
Everything is fixed now.
And so with acceptance came trust and love. But there is always a sadness in store for the menders of the world. For the things they mend belong to others and must be returned each in its own time to those who have legal title.
Hello? Davy? Joe, hello? Where is everybody?
In here, Sarah.
Huh?
What are you sitting in the dark for? Where's Davy?
Davy's next door.
Oh, I'll go get him.
No, wait a minute. I want to talk to you.
What's happened? Something with Davy?
Davy's all right. For a while, anyway. Miss Miller called.
So?
She wants Davy.
Hmm. So it's come.
She wants him back.
Sure, Joe. We knew it would come. It means he'll have a real permanent home now with his own people.
Better people than us? How can we let him go?
No, not better, Joe, but for good. We did what we could for him. He's healthy now, he's a good boy, and he'll be a fine man.
Yes, I guess you're right. He's not ours.
No, Joe, he is ours. Part of him will always be ours.
This is a story about a child and a mother. But even more, it is a story about a man who became a father again. An ordinary man, as we said in the beginning. He did an ordinary thing. He loved a child. Not easily, but with pain and slow awareness. When the time came to leave the child, and in some manner all children eventually leave us, there was a great emptiness. But the world does not stop there.
It's getting chilly, Sarah. Let's go home.
No, another few blocks. The walk will help us sleep.
It's too quiet at home now, huh?
Joe, I've been thinking. I want another child.
I know. I could see it. But, Sarah, remember how hard it was the first months with David.
Yes, it was worth it.
Sure, it was worth it, but for a while we were hardly talking to each other.
We've had our fights before.
And remember how hard it was to give him up.
I remember other things, Joe. How he looked when we took him. And how he looked when we gave him back. How he was afraid of people, hated people. And how he laughed and played at the end. There are other children like that, Joe.
All right, Sarah. I just wanted to make sure.
Then I can call the agency tomorrow?
Tomorrow? I called them this afternoon.
And each Sabbath at the service, the congregations read Bonai, thy builders, for Banai, thy children, so that peace may increase throughout the world.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Dr. Catherine Lenroot, Director of the United States Children's Bureau of the Federal Security Agency. Dr. Lenroot.
Do you remember those wise and beautiful words from the prayer book that opened this program? The children of the world are the builders of the world. Through them, we may know peace. These are the words that Sarah and Joe, tenderly, compassionately, brought to life. These are the words that express so exquisitely the heart and purpose of a great assemblage that will take place in Washington in 5 weeks. Over 5,000 people will be meeting in Washington on December 3rd to dedicate 4 days to thinking together about how all of us can do a wiser, better job of helping our children build a world of peace by assuring each of them, whatever his race, creed, or color, a childhood of affection, security, and joy. This will be the mid-century White House Conference on Children and Youth. The President of the United States has called this conference. It will be the fifth such conference of this century. The 5,000 people who gather in Washington will come from every state and territory, and some 500 of them from other nations. All of them will be discussing together how we can develop in children the mental, emotional, and spiritual qualities essential to individual happiness and to responsible citizenship, and what physical, economic, and social conditions are deemed necessary to this development. Ask yourself, as you read or hear the reports of this conference, is there anything I can do to put this faith, this hope, this knowledge to the greater service of some child I know? Never before did any generation of children deserve so much from adults as our children deserve. Even though you and I put forth the utmost effort to increase peace throughout the world, we will be passing on to our children a world that is infinitely more complex than the one we inherited from our parents. We have a great debt, a debt greater than that of any other generation of adults, to the children who must take up the unfinished tasks of their elders. The more we increase our understanding of children's needs, the better we translate that understanding into simple, everyday acts of generosity, kindness, and justice, as Sarah and Joe did so beautifully, the surer we will be to measure up to that obligation.
Thank you, Dr. Lenroot. Our eternal light drama today, The Builders, was written by Harry Gersh. The music was composed and conducted by Morris Momorsky. Cantor Robert Siegel sang the liturgical introduction. Featured in the cast were Charlotte Holland as Sarah and Peter Capel as Joe. The production was under the direction of Edward King. Mel Brand speaking. Free time to present The Eternal Light is made available by the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.